We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is WTIC's Law Talk, a project of the Hartford County Bar Association. If you have a legal question, call now, 860-522-WTIC or 800-966-WTIC. And now, it's time for Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com.
Well, hi, everybody. Good afternoon. It is Saturday afternoon. It is WTIC News Talk 1080. It is Law Talk. It's Attorney John Matulis. My pleasure hosting these Saturday afternoon get-togethers where we discuss matters legal in nature and we go over all of the different things that cross your mind, statutes, rules, regulations, advice. This is the place to get it. And the way you do that is by calling us at 860-522-WTIC. That's 860-522-9842. We're here from now until 1 o'clock, and we are live. It's great to be back with you in person because of some scheduling issues. Last week had to be recorded, but this time, no problem taking your calls, helping you out if you'd like us to do so. Remember that when you call us and allow us to put you on the air with your legal issue or your legal problem, you're allowing us, you and I together, to help a lot of other people that are listening, some of whom are going to have a strong interest in that exact same issue. So before we get started today and tell you a little bit about the lineup, just wanted to mention that we've had several people that responded to one of the segments that we did last week, which was pre-recorded. We'd had a number of inquiries about something called title lock. And so we did some research on that, did a report on it, did the conclusions. Those of you that let us know, you are happy to hear the information. Thanks for letting us know. Always delighted to hear back, especially if the information was helpful to you. So between calls today, we've got a bunch of different topics that we're going to go over. And let me tell you a little bit about what that is. Tom is going to be getting the phones, and one is ringing right now, so hopefully he will remember to pick that up, Tom. Okay. What we've got in between, though, is we're going to talk about something that a lot of folks have to deal with. So you fell during the winter, during ice and snow season, and you slipped on some ice and snow. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about why it is that it may be difficult for you to get decent compensation. So that's something that's going to affect a number of people, and it's an area of the law that's not well understood. We're going to go and visit the topic of medical malpractice, and specifically we're going to talk about something called apparent agency. Well, what is that, and why should you care? Well, you'll care if in the hospital you're treated by a radiologist, you're treated by an anesthesiologist before you're proceeding and a procedure. And when it comes time to see if something's gone wrong and who's going to be responsible for it, that's going to be very, very important. We're going to segue after that over to the town of Avon, Connecticut. We've got a trademark infringement case that's pending in the Superior Court. It's dueling dental practices. And so this is something that I think you're going to hear about. We haven't done much about trademark infringement before, and this one comes out a little bit differently than you might have expected. After that, if we have time, we're going to do a little scenario about powers of attorney. You hear about them from time to time on other parts of the radio station programming here. And we're going to tell you something about how you can basically get somebody to cough up information that otherwise they would not. So we've got lots going on here, and we'll be taking your calls at 860-522-9842. That's 860-522-WTIC. Just to remind you, we're here only until 1 o'clock, so if you're thinking about giving us a call, better to give us a call a little bit earlier rather than a little bit later. That way, the likelihood of us being able to give you the attention that you deserve before we run out of time is going to be a lot better. So that's the story. Once again, 860-522-WTIC, 522-9842. Okay, first up, this is a question about falling down in the winter. Ice and snow, this is New England. We all know that there are times when it's slippery. Sometimes you fall. Some people get seriously injured. So the question is, okay, well, who's responsible for that? Now, there's a couple of different parts to this, but the theme here is to explain why it is that this is going to become a little more difficult for you to get recovery than you might realize otherwise, okay? If you are walking on private property and you slip and fall, the very first question is, did the person that you're making the claim against, did they owe you a duty? It depends on what your status is. If you're an invitee, or if you're a licensee, in other words, you have somebody that has the right to be there, but you're not expected, it's a whole different standard. And if you're a trespasser, it's a lower standard still. But here's what happens, though, okay? If they owe you a duty, then finally, did they still have control over the area where you fell? Because guess what? Mere ownership does not answer it for you. They have to actually assert control over the area. Now, here's the final part of this, and then we'll go to Phil and Meriden with a question. The final part of it is, did the owner or the person in possession and control of the property, did they actually have notice of the slippery condition? And there's two different kinds of notices. There's actual notice. Okay, somebody lives in that area. They look out the window. They say, oh, my God, my sidewalk is all slippery. I better take care of that. So that's actual notice. There's also what's called constructive notice. That means that the condition existed long enough so that the reasonably prudent owner or possessor would have known about it and had an ample opportunity to spread some salt, shovel off the snow, take care of it in that fashion. So what does all of this mean? What all this means is that if you've fallen and sustained an injury and it's on ice and snow, it's going to be a little more difficult to collect than it might be if this was a defective premise where you tripped over a sidewalk where one of the sidewalk flags was raised for some reason. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And we're also going to talk about something called, which is part of the same topic in some cases, called the ongoing storm doctrine. So those of you that may have had a tumble or may have gotten injured during this past season and your claims are being made and processed, I just wanted to let you know these are some of the things that are going to be coming up, and you and your attorney are going to have to deal with these issues. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. Phil and Meriden, we'll get to you also. If you've got a question for us, our number is 860-522-WTIC. I'm attorney John Matulis. It is Law Talk. It is WTIC News Talk 1080 and Odyssey Station, and we're going to be back with more of Law Talk after this. Okay, welcome back to Law Talk. Oh, sorry, Mr. Announcer Man. Didn't mean to step on you there. Anyway, it's attorney John Matulis. It is Law Talk right here on WTIC, where we can help you out with your legal question if you will allow us to do so. And you do that by phoning us at 860-522-9842. First up today, Phil in Meriden. Thanks for calling. You're on the air. Tell us how we can help you. Hi, Phil. Have we got you there? Well, let's see if this makes a difference. Phil, can you hear us? All right. I'm not sure exactly what the problem is there, so we're going to leave that to Tom to deal with there. I'll put Phil back on hold, and hopefully that will take care of that. While they're getting that fixed, let me tell you a little bit more about what we were discussing before. And that was the business about winter storms, people that get injured. We talked about how you've got to basically show that the possessor of the property, not necessarily the owner, but the possessor owed you a duty. And then the most important thing was actual notice. So that's the other issue there. We're going to talk about ongoing storm doctrine, but before that, we're going to try Phil and Meriden one more time and see if we can get this to work. Right. Phil, are you there? Oh, it sounds like we've got Phil on the air. Okay, Phil, don't listen to the radio because there's a delay, so just talk to me on the air here.
Yeah, no, I'm not listening to you.
Okay.
I left my car at a car dealership in Middletown, Connecticut. It was having some work done, and they needed to order some parts, so it was sitting there in their parking lot for about three weeks, and then they got the part in. They went out to get my car to do the work, and my catalytic converter was stolen from my car.
Oh, Lord.
So they're saying that they have no responsibility for that. And I say they do. They have signs. They said they have signs all over the place, not responsible. But what is the law concerning this?
Okay, my view is that when you left your car there to be serviced, you created what the law refers to as a bailment, which means that you've entrusted that car to them and they are obligated to return it to you in the agreed upon condition and certainly not without its catalytic converter. So how far have you gone up the corporate ladder as far as your complaint about the catalytic converter? Have you talked to just a service writer or have you gotten to the general manager of the facility?
Yeah, I've spoken to the serviceman, manager in charge, and asked him if a police report was filed, and they said he didn't think so. So I talked to the general manager of the car dealership, and he said that there was no police report filed, and he told me the same thing that the other guy told me, that because of the signs, they have no responsibility. They might help me with some of the payment, but I feel they're totally responsible because I left the car in good faith at their place.
What is the wording on this sign that they refer to, Phil?
I did not see the sign, but from what I understand, we are not responsible for loss or theft or personal property or whatever. Like I said, I have not seen the sign, but I'm sure it's basically the same sign. I had a Toyota Prius. I won't tell you what the dealership that was at, but I guess you can kind of figure it out by the type of car.
Yeah, exactly. All right, couple of suggestions for you. First of all, I understand that replacing a catalytic converter is probably at least a four-figure price tag. Does that sound about right? All right. I think that what you should do, now, they were unable to tell you if there had been a police report filed or not, correct?
They said there wasn't filed. I talked to a detective at the Middletown Police Department, and from what he understands, there was none filed and there was no report of anything being stolen at that place about that time. The car dealership, like I said, the car is parked there for like 3 weeks to get oil change and other things. So I'm trying to find out exactly when was the last date that they actually physically saw the car.
Yeah.
And I won't find that out till probably tomorrow.
I understand.
Or on Monday, but
Well, Phil, I think you're going to have to. Well, let me ask you one more question before I tell you what you might want to do here. So far as you know, while this car was there for the 3 weeks waiting for the part, did they have it in some kind of an enclosed chain link type of enclosed area to keep people from going in there?
From what I've seen in the past, when I dropped my car off after hours, there is no chain link. They had it parked up against the building outside, but there isn't any chain link or anything like that.
All right. I'm just curious because this, as you probably know, has become a very, very widespread problem at this point. And I know that the police are doing a lot of things to try to basically break up the market for this stuff, since if these folks can't get any money for somebody's stolen catalytic converter, there's no incentive to take it. Here's the first thing, and I think you got to take the gloves off here. I think that you're going to have to tell them that this car was entrusted to them and that they were negligent in failing to insure it properly, and that you're demanding that they take care of this. Now, they'll probably ignore you, so I think it's time for you to speak to your lawyer about this. Do you have an attorney?
Well, I could get one, but we were going through my insurance company. Should they take care of it?
If the insurance company is going to take care of it, what's your deductible on the insurance policy?
Well, it's $250, but I thought, obviously, they don't want to pay anything or toward this. I would think they would do whatever legal options they could do to help me out.
Yeah.
So they don't have to pay anything.
The insurance company should pay you, and in return, they're going to ask you to sign what's called a subrogation receipt or a subrogation document. What that means is that they're allowed to step into your shoes for purposes of pursuing the parties responsible for the theft. And that's how these insurance companies often handle these claims on behalf of their insureds. They'll pay you, and then they go after the party who is responsible to try to recoup what they've paid you. So my advice is continue to work with the insurance company. It sounds like your $250 deductible is probably going to be the end of the direct financial loss, but the car is going to be tied up. I'm sure it's not running very well.
They did say they would pay for the deductible, the car dealership. But if I put it through my insurance, and it goes through again, let me just backtrack. About a month ago, from my house, I had a catalytic converter stolen.
Oh, geez.
So we went to that place to have one installed, and then I was going to have one of those shields put on underneath.
Yeah.
And that was on back order. So it sat there for 3 weeks while we did oil change or whatever. So it was there in good faith. They didn't file a police report, which I thought they should have, because there was property on their lot that was stolen, even though it wasn't theirs.
I think that there's a lot of room for them to improve their performance here, and I think that Getting the insurance company to pay for a new one is probably the best way for you to be protected. Sign the subrogation paperwork when they ask you to do that. And I think you should probably make this dealership make it known to them that you're not going to be interested in being a repeat customer, nor is anybody in your family or friends, when they try to blame, you know, the customer for something that happened to a car that's been in their possession for 3 weeks. I realize there's a shortage of parts, and I realize that it was probably there longer than it should have been, but we are right in the middle of an epidemic of catalytic converter thefts, and these folks are as aware of it as anybody there is. So I think that that would be the best thing to do, but thanks for letting us know about your problem. I've got another call I'm going to have to jump to, but let me know in a future show how it turns out, okay, Phil? Okay, thanks. Take care. All right. Tough story for Phil there. We'd like to help you also if we can. Call us at 860-522-9842. Next up's going to be Sandy in Lebanon. Just wanted to let you know that if we can help you, you're also allowing us to help others at the same time. Let's go to Sandy. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to Law Talk. Here we go. All right. Let's try this.
Hello?
Hi, Sandy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I've got a sticky button on the phone console here, it turns out. Okay,
yes.
So I understand you're following up on a property issue.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of minutes,
yeah,
and then we're going to have to break for news. So if we can cover
it,
that's
great.
Do you
want me to wait?
No, why don't you start telling me about it, okay?
Okay, so I had called you approximately 6 weeks ago. You might remember me. I'm a registered nurse. And then you told me your wife is a nurse.
Yeah.
Kudos to all the nurses out there. And I had told you I had an issue with a quick claim deed, and I was advised by my lawyer, because we had rental property, to do the quick claim deed in case there's an issue with the tenants, they don't sue me and get our primary residence. So what happened is, long story short, I spoke to my accountant, and he looked online at the property, and he said, I think you might be pleasantly surprised that the property is in both your names. Why don't you go to the town hall? So there me are. I went right smack bang to the town hall to find out what the story is. And was I in for a pleasant surprise?
Oh, tell us more.
Yeah, so the property, whatever, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so forgive me for not using the correct term. Apparently, it was like, it seemed like a two-way deal whereby the property was sold for a dollar from me and to my husband, and then it went back. And like I said, forgive me, I don't know what the terms are. And bottom line is, the property is in both of our names. And so the town clerk in Lebanon, they are so nice. I presume they're all nice. They said to me, don't worry about it. If anybody wants to buy your property, this is where they come, and the property is in both of your names. So you have nothing to worry about. So what I gather from that, if you are worried about your property and the name, go to your town hall, because anybody that wants to deal with your property, like buying it, real estate transaction.
Sandy, I'm going to have to put you on hold, and you've got a great story to finish up, so let me put you on hold, okay? And stick with us over the news. And it is time for news. I'm going to have to break. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. You're listening to Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Okay, welcome back to Law Talk. I am Attorney John Matulis, and as Santana fades into the background there, we are here to answer your legal questions, give you information, advice, help you navigate through that thicket of laws and rules and regulations. We're going to get back to Sandy in Lebanon in just a minute. We've got room for your calls also at 860-522-9842. That's 860-522-9842. It is WTIC.com. Live streaming on the net. So if you know somebody outside the area that would like to listen, delighted to have them join us also. Okay, let's go back to Sandy. Hi, Sandy. Are you still with us? Okay, Sandy, are you still with us?
Yeah,
I guess I got to really whack this number to get it to work properly here.
Yeah,
okay, we're just
going to
finish up. You were telling us that the Lebanon town clerk was very grateful, gracious to you, and that they ended up confirming that the property is in both yours and your husband's name, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Great.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, anybody, and you know that because you're a lawyer, anybody that has any questions or qualms about their property title, they go to your town hall, because anybody that's going to buy your property, they're not going to get that information from the lawyers or any other person. It's what's in the town hall, the documentation in the town hall of your town that they have to deal with. They're not going to deal with any other entity. So if you have any questions, you go to your town hall. The people are nice in Lebanon, and I'm sure they're nice all over. They were so gracious, and they said you have nothing to worry about. And let me tell you, that was like, the best thing I ever heard. I don't have to pay any extra money to have a title search, this and the other.
Sandy, I'm glad that it turned out so well for you. And the one thing I would say is just remember, they can give you information, but sometimes it's going to take a lawyer to interpret it. And if something needs to be fixed, the town hall people can receive documents and tell you what they say or give you copies, but you still may need some help if there's a problem. But I'm so glad that you followed up, and thank you for letting us know that that worked out well, okay?
Let me ask you this quick.
Well, we got about four more calls that I'm going to have to jump to, so I'm going to ask if we can put you off till next time. Thank you. Bye now. All right. Well, always glad to hear when somebody follows up and says that things worked out well. And that was Sandy from Lebanon following up on a title issue that she had previously. Our phone number is 860-522-9842. There's a slot or two open for you. First up, Robert. Robert, can you? Let's try this again. All right. Second click. Robert, you're on Law Talk. Tell us how we can help you.
Good afternoon, sir, fellow Lithuanian. But I also,
okay.
I wanted to ask you, if you have two identical pieces of property and one has a no trespassing sign and the other doesn't, and there's an individual trespassing on each one, and you call the police, is there a difference in the ability, what they can do or you can do as far as that, or do you have, does it have to be posted if you're, somebody is trespassing or not? I was just wondering.
Yeah, the classical answer, Robert, is that the property must have a sign on it that says posted no trespassing in order for the police to arrest somebody for trespassing. And the specific language, if I'm recalling it correctly, is right in the statute regarding trespassing. So that's why if you go to Home Depot or some other big box store and you want to buy some pre-made signs, it's all going to say posted no trespassing. That word posted looks like it's redundant, but I believe the statute requires the language, and that's the reason for it.
Interesting. Very. I didn't realize. I was discussing that with somebody, and I was just wondering if you had, like I said, if you had two pieces and one wasn't posted and one was, would the police have any authority? You know, would there be any difference in the two pieces that the police could do their whatever authority they had on those pieces of property if you called them? So
the police can certainly respond to a complaint. They can certainly tell people who are trespassing that they have to leave. But in terms of invoking the criminal law and having somebody arrested for trespassing, then it has to be posted.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, but great question. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, sir. Bye now.
Okay, thanks. Take care. Bye now. All right. Well, just a little piece of information about trespassing there. And I think that's something that people should keep in mind. If you have concerns about people trespassing on your property and it rises to the level that they might have to be arrested, perhaps they're persistent, post it and post it with a sign that says posted no trespassing, because that's probably going to be a prerequisite for an arrest. Okay. Our phone number is 860-522-9842. Our names, well, I'm attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. It's WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com, streaming audio on the net. Next up, Terry in Manchester. Hi, Terry. You're on Law Talk. Tell us how we can help you.
Hey, John. I have an insurance claim for commercial property. It had a code upgrade payment. The insurance company reported them to the insurance commissioner's office, CID, and now they're claiming that they had given me the money for the code upgrade and realized they overpaid me and decided to apply it to something else.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
So and what's the present status on this, Terry?
Well, currently, I didn't release the insurance company. We have a replacement cost value policy. It was a $6 million policy, and they tried to downgrade my electrical service from what it was. I said no, and I wouldn't take the payment. And, of course, the status is we're still kind of up in the air with me agreeing to release them.
Okay. Has the insurance commissioner's office been of any assistance with regard to this dispute?
Well, currently they are helping out. They haven't so far filed regulatory and asked me for more questions and recommend that I consider Superior Court without telling me why, but obviously that's just a passive.
I think that the insurance commissioner's staff performs almost an ombudsman type of role in the sense that if they can try to resolve a dispute, they will, but as I understand it, a lot of them are still working from home because of, guess what, COVID, and that it's a little bit more difficult to do much more than, you know, basically try to mediate the resolution of a problem. In terms of the Superior Court, you're going to be involved in an action that would basically be either a declaratory judgment action or something of that nature as to what your rights are under that policy and whether they've honored them. So it gets a little bit hairy because those complaints sound in number one, breach of contract. Number two, sometimes there may be some claim of fraud of some sort, although we don't do those unless we really have a good basis to believe somebody said something to you that was untrue and they knew it was untrue, hoping that you would rely upon it. So what I would suggest is if this is still going along, you need an attorney to pursue this further. Do you have an attorney already?
No, I don't.
Okay. I think you might want to consider the Hartford County Bar Association's lawyer referral service. It's a not-for-profit service, and I'm happy to give you that number. But you get a half-hour consult for $35 with somebody who works in that exact area and would be able to help you.
Excellent.
Can I give you that number?
Yes, you may.
Okay, here's the number, Terry. It's 860-525-6052.
Excellent. And one final question.
Sure, go right ahead.
In terms of statute of limitations on claims, if you have, is it dependent upon your releasing the insurance company, or does it run irregardless from the date of the claim?
The statute of limitations generally runs from the event that is at issue, or from when the person knew or in the exercise of reasonable care should have known of it. But an insurance policy is a written contract, and in Connecticut, the statute of limitations for written contracts is 6 years. Now, if the insurance policy contains a different period of time, then there's a wrangle about whether the contract controls or whether the state law controls. That's why it's a good idea to have that policy reviewed by an attorney, just to make sure it's not one of these policies where they slipped in something like, well, you only have 1 year to make a claim or something like that.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Terry, best of luck with that. Hope it works out well, and love to hear from you in the future to see how the process unfolded for you.
I certainly will. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Take care. Bye now. All right. Good calls here. Glad to help out. Just wanted to remind you, I referred Terry to this lawyer referral service. This is the time in the show where I usually do that, and then we'll get back to some calls. We've got John in Waterbury and one or two others, so we will take care of those too. But the lawyer referral service is a not-for-profit service. The Hartford County Bar operates it. Every lawyer who participates in it is vetted. Okay? They are all insured. They are all experienced. They are all free of disciplinary entanglements. So you call them at the number that I gave John, and I'm going to give that, that I gave the gentleman, and that I'm going to give you again in just a minute. They'll steer you to the right attorney, and you meet with the attorney. You can meet in the office face-to-face. You can do it over a Zoom hearing. You can do it over the telephone. That's up to you and the attorney. You get a half-hour consult with no further obligation whatsoever. If further legal services are requested, you can discuss that with the attorney, but there's no obligation. Total cost, $35, one-time only charge. And if you're calling about a personal injury claim, forget about the $35. They will waive it. If you're calling about your workers' compensation claim, ditto. No $35 charge. Well, you don't have one of those, but you got a Social Security disability claim. Same thing. No $35 fee. So here's the number. It's 860-525-6052. That's 860-525-6052. That is the Hartford County Bar Association's not-for-profit lawyer referral service. As we say here on Law Talk, it's a lot better to get a lawyer that way than from a billboard on the highway or from some internet ad that you saw on the internet. That's 860-525-6052. And that takes care of that. We're going to go back to the phones. We will get to John in just a minute. And if you want to give us a call, we are at 860-522-9842. Okay, that said, let's go to John. John, hi, you're on Law Talk. Tell us how we can help you. Hi, John, can you hear me? Hello? Okay, well, we're going to put John back on hold, and we'll see what the situation is here. Okay, that's back where that goes. Wanted to let you know, and we're going to have to take a break in a moment or two, that we've got a bunch of things to talk about here today. And if there are any specific topics in which you are interested that you want us to discuss in the future, by all means, call up and let us know. I mentioned earlier in the program that we did some investigation into the business about title lock. Last week, we did that report on that, and if we can respond to specific inquiries or specific issues that you have, love to hear about it. The number here, 860-522-9842. I am told by the illustrious Tom, our producer, it's time for a break, and so that's exactly what we're going to have to do. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar, and we'll be back with you right after this. All right. Bouncing right back into the last segment of Law Talk right here on WTIC. I'm Attorney John Matulis, and we're going to be here up until 1 o'clock. This program is your program. We dispense legal advice, legal information, try to help you out as you deal with all of these laws and rules and regulations that affect all of us out there. We started talking earlier about why it is that it's difficult if you slip on ice and snow in the wintertime to collect on that. And I think we covered that pretty well. I was just going to tell you there's a thing that you have to know about called the ongoing storm doctrine. And it sounds pretty practical, but it's worth explaining. The ongoing storm doctrine basically goes like this. It says that absent unusual circumstances, if somebody has control over premises, they are permitted to wait until the end of a storm and for a reasonable time thereafter to remove ice and snow. So why should you care about that? Well, here's why. Because if you're outside and it's still snowing, especially if it's snowing heavily, and you slip and fall, you're not going to be able to make a claim. Now, what sometimes happens is that you're not slipping and falling on the freshly fallen snow. Sometimes there's ice or snow or slippery conditions underneath that have existed for a while, and that the newly fallen snow masks it or hides it from you so you can't see it. So despite the ongoing storm doctrine, there are exceptions about that, and those are things that I think we need to point out so that you can be aware of it. If you've fallen into this category, first of all, if you can avoid going out during a storm, please do. If you still have to, be very careful. If you fall, bear in mind that if you fell as a result of the freshly fallen snow, you're going to be SOL, sorely out of luck. Yeah, not something else. And if you fell, but it appears that these slippery conditions were not part of the storm and may have existed for some time before that, you may still have a good claim. So that said, we're going to go back to the phones and let's talk to John in Waterbury. John, are you back with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. And thanks for calling back. I understood that you have a question about a conservatorship.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me more. Tell me how we can help you.
Well, mom's in a nursing home, and she's not doing well. And my dear brother did this conservatorship, and I wasn't any part of it. Does that affect me negatively when the time comes and property gets divided and all that? And
well, here's pretty much what happens, John. Once there's a conservatorship and somebody, in this case your brother, is appointed the conservator, they have several things they have to do, and they're going to be doing this with your mom's assets, okay? They have to file an inventory, and periodically they have to file with a court an accounting that shows income, expenses. It has to show assets and liabilities and things of that nature. So this is where this may affect you. I mean, to the extent that you're going to inherit from mom's estate, you want to make sure that while she's being cared for properly, that nobody is doing things that are inconsistent with her best interests, such as paying themselves an extravagant salary or doing things of that sort. So you do have the right to be heard with respect to these periodic accountings that are required. And if you suspect any kind of wrongdoing or chicanery or something else, you can bring that to the attention of the court. You have standing. You are her son. You're an heir at law. And therefore, you have the opportunity to do that, John, if you feel that the circumstances warrant doing so.
Okay. So how do I keep tabs on what expenses, they're expending for, house maintenance? Or I'm not sure what expenses.
No, those are all good questions. Are you... is your relationship with your brother such that you can say, hey, can you give me some kind of an accounting of what you're doing, what income's coming in and what money's going out, or is he not likely to be cooperative?
Not cooperative.
Okay. How long has he been the conservator?
this has been going on for about 6 months.
Okay. That's probably time enough to look into it. You have to file something with the probate court that appointed him the conservator, and you should ask the court for a status conference regarding this matter. And that's a conference that's more informal. The judge will say, okay, what's going on? Why can I help you? And you say, I want to know what he's doing. I'm concerned to make sure that the expenses are appropriate, the income is accounted for, and he's not giving me any information. And at that point, the judge will probably turn to your brother and say, any reason why you won't share some of this with John from Waterbury? And if he's got a good reason, which I doubt that he does, that nothing will come of it. But otherwise, the judge will probably encourage him strongly to do that. And if he still doesn't, you have the right to file a motion for an order that he file in accounting. Because that's something. See, he's functioning as an arm of the court. Any expenses that he incurs and pays, anything he does with income, is all subject to the court's approval. So I hope that's helpful, John.
It was. Can I do this status conference myself, or do we need an attorney?
No, you can do it yourself. I'd visit the probate court, tell them that you want to schedule a status conference, and ask if they need something from you, a letter requesting it or whatever it might be. But that's how you would do it. And, John, call us on a future show and let us know how it turns out, okay?
Thanks
so much.
Okay,
I'm going to jump to another call before we close up here. Thanks for calling. Take care now. Okay, I'm Attorney John Matulis. It is Law Talk. It is WTIC, and we're going to go to Dan in East Windsor. All right, Dan, thanks for calling. Tell us how we can help you.
Hi, how you doing? My niece was in a car accident. It was the other person's fault, and of course, the other person's insurance is paying for her damages and whatnot. But what I wanted to find out is there any way that she can get any kind of a claim for diminished value? Because obviously, when she goes to get the car, anchor in the car, you know, trade it in and sell it, what have you, it will not bring as much as it would have if it had never been in an accident.
Oh, Dan, that is such a good question. I'm glad you asked that. For all the rest of the listeners out there, the concept of diminished value was very poorly understood up until a few years ago. And there are a couple of lawyers, one of them in Hartford, who decided to make a specialty of this. And so the theory is that even though the car has been repaired to the same standard it was in before, the fact that it's been in an accident ends up getting disclosed through Carfax or through anything else, and it has a negative impact on the fair market value of the car. So even though they fix it up for you, and even though it doesn't have to, is the functional equivalent of what it was before the accident, it's worth less. So there are attorneys who specialize in this, and it's like a high volume, low profit type of area, which is why most of us aren't able to do it, but they do take care of that. So the answer is yes, there is compensation for the diminished value. It has to be demonstrated to the court what the diminished value is. It requires an automobile appraiser to do that, and there are a number of them that testify regularly for the attorneys who do this. Dan, is that helpful? Does that help to answer your question?
Yes. The follow-up that is, does she have to wait until the actual loss happens? In other words, if she sells it or trades it in, because I guess one could argue that she hasn't suffered any harm until that time. Would that be the case?
Good point. The answer, negative. The diminished value is the value right now, and so this vehicle is worth less than it would be otherwise. So I think that the appraisers will say the same thing, that it's not necessary for the vehicle to be sold in order to experience that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Excellent question. Thanks for calling. And I hope it works out well with your niece. Hopefully she wasn't hurt in the accident.
No, she was. Just property damage.
Excellent. That's great. Thanks for the call, Dan. Take care.
Thanks.
Okay,
thank
bye
you.
Now. All right. A delightful question, because I think the diminished value area is one that a lot of folks are just unfamiliar with. And courts weren't all that familiar with it either, but they are now. That little bit of music in the background is the exit theme for Law Talk. And that is our producer telling me, all right, fella, time to wrap it up. So we're going to have to do that right now. First of all, let me thank all of you for listening. Thanks especially for all of those that called. It makes this much more fun when we can help you out directly instead of just listening to me. Thanks to Tom, our producer. He is the guy with the great baritone voice that you hear when you call in here. Me? I just work here. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. We'll be back next week with more of Law Talk, and we'll look forward to talking to you. Until then, see ya.
Law Talk is presented as a public service by the Hartford County Bar Association. Its content is intended to be educational and informative, but is not considered to be formal legal opinion. If you want or need a formal legal opinion upon which to rely in decision-making, please consider formally engaging an attorney to review all relevant facts in detail and examine the pertinent law as it applies to those facts. A solid opinion means better decisions. The views expressed during this program are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of the Hartford County Bar Association, its officers, or its directors.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.